Okay, Gvirotai, let's go. We are learning the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Gimel, and the Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us that La'asid Lavo HaKadosh Baruch Hu offers the non-Jews the mitzvah of sukkah, and the non-Jews go and they build their sukkahs, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the sun out of its case, and it's really hot, and Mitzaris Potter and HaSukkah, and the non-Jews, they go, and they leave the sukkah, and they kick the sukkah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu laughs on that occasion. That is the one time that God laughed. But there's another version in the Gemara, on Gimel Amud Beis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu laughed a different time. And the Gemara tells us that La'asid Lavo, the non-Jews will come and convert. Frek the Gemara, we're not supposed to accept convert in Yemos HaMashiach, but rather, Ela Shana'asu Gerim Gerurim. Now, some have the gears and not Gerurim, but instead Gerudim. Either way, it means that they became Gerim on their own somehow. And this is something that I've been told we're supposed to hold off on discussing until you do all the makoros. So we'll try to hold off on that. But rather, they become geirim. Umeinichin tefillin b'roshehen, tefillin b'zroosehem, tzitzis b'vigdehem, mezuzah b'fischehem. They become geirim, and they put tefillin on their heads, tefillin on their arms, tzitzis on their clothing, and mezuzah on their doors. What's the problem with the order of this Gemara? Dun, dun, dun. We put on tzitzis before tefillin. That's one problem. What's another problem? The show rosh is before the show yad. You were bothered by that, Michal.
All things that we would definitely know.
Right. Okay, fine. So, yeah, if I'd be saying sheer uptown, the guys who jump on this.
You put on your show yad before your show rosh.
I put on my show yad before my show rosh. That is what most people do. And
you're
also putting your tzitzis before you put on your tefillin. Very good, Shani. So the problem is, how come the goyim are putting their shel rosh on before their shel yad, and how come the tzitzis is coming after? That's really the problem. So the answer might be something along the lines of what we said last time we learned, which is that the non-Jews are trying not just to do mitzvos, but they're trying to do mitzvos in a show-offy, demonstrative sort of way. Now, if I do mitzvos in a show-offy sort of way, I will put on my tefillin shel rosh, about which everyone can see. Remember, the pasuk says, "V'ra'u kol amei ha'aretz kishem Hashem nikra alecha." And that, the Gemara tells us, that the Inga Brachas refers to the tefillin Sheberosh, right? By the way, that Gemara has an interesting formulation. It doesn't say tefillin Shorosh, it says the tefillin Sheberosh. You get an impression that, like, they are embedded in the head. But the point is that the non-Jews are trying to be show-offy. So in an effort to be show-offy, they do the most public things first, no? So it goes in descending order of publicity. Tzitzis is less public than tefillin shel yad. I missed something good. What did I miss, Michal? Okay.
It's just like, I always associate tzitzis as being like out, but that's not.
What?
It's not like a thing.
So the tzitzis being, it's not that it's not a thing. The Mishnah Berurah writes that you should. That's probably the same type of idea, if you want a brief shiur about that one, that when you put tzitzis out, I thought it's the same type of idea as, are we supposed to be Mekayim Pshuto Shel Mikra? When the Gemara has a drasha from a pasuk that seems to reinterpret the pasuk in a different sort of way. Tzitzis, the Torah says, Re'isem Oso. We learn from Re'isem Oso that you're only chayav in tzitzis during the day, not at night. Ksus Yom is chayav in tzitzis, not ksus Laila. Do I try to fulfill Pshuto Shel Mikra and have my tzitzis out? You probably notice right now my tzitzis are not out. Sometimes they are. Depends on my mood. So that's one example of being mekayem pshuto shel mikra. The tour, this is something you could speak about in Sukkos. The tour has a chiddush that when you take aravos, they are supposed to be arvei nachal. The tour says, get your aravos from a river. Right? So the aravos that you have growing in the backyard of your grandmother's house, which is not near a river, don't count. Right? According to the Torah. You're not Mekayim Pshuto Shel Mikra. The Pasuk says, V'chol Tzav Na'alo Me'al Raglo. that when you do a chalitza, she takes his shoe off of his foot. No? There's a chumra that we have in the Seder chalitza that the shoe, it's a special shoe, the chalitza shoe, it like ties, there's like a term for it, like you would know this, my wife knows these terms, of the shoes that like tie all the way up near the knee. What? Okay, there you have it. So, gladiators. Huh? See, what was that?
Do they know that uptown?
Absolutely not. Guaranteed they would not know this uptown. But the chalitza shoe is like a special type of shoe that you have to tie it up. It goes all the way up to the knee, basically. And the bezin usually owns the chalitza shoe because most people don't own these types of shoes. Now they're becoming more popular.
Why can't in, they just buy them from the shul?
From the shul?
And then they'll be the shoes.
So what we do at a chalitza is we sell the shoe to the fellow. And we make it be his shoe. The Gemara says chotzon na alon means the shoe has to fit. If the shoe is too big or too small, you can't do it. Yeah. Can't do a chalitza. But we try to be mekayim shuto shel mikra, and that we sell the chalitza shoe, we make a kinyan on the chalitza shoe before we do a chalitza. Other examples of being mekayim shuto shel mikra are, anyone know? It's a famous comment of Elijah Kramer Vilna, of the Vilna Gaon. When the Torah says, matzos tochlu eis shiv'as hayamim, so the Gemara says there's a mitzvah to eat matzah all 7 days of the yontif that we call Pesach, which is Ulechai Kamatzos, right? The Gemara says a mitzvah to eat, and the Mishnah Berurah has a suffix, the beginning of Hilchos Sukkah, maybe, according to the Gemara, there's a mitzvah to eat bread in the Sukkah all 7 days of Sukkot, no? That's like for super duper Chumrah land, right? Not a bad one, right? Because we equate the mitzvah to eat in the Sukkah to the mitzvah of matzah. So there's matzah called shiva. Another one that I have, another example of a chumrah to be mekayim shuto shel mikra, is the pasuk in Sefer Nehemiah says va'amdu kol ha'am bibris. No, on Rosh Hashanah Nehemiah went and he read the Torah to the entire Jewish people. No, and then he said that you should send mishloach manos. People don't realize there's a mitzvah mishloach manos on Rosh Hashanah. Right, it's a pasuk in Nehemiah, b'shulchu manos, right, le something or another, whatever, right, that you're supposed to send mishloach manos, and Nehemiah read the Torah. But the way the Torah said, the way the Navi says that he read the Torah is about amdu kala am bebris, and this is probably the source, the Gra says, for the chumrah to stand up during Kriyas HaTorah. Right, the Gemara darshins v'amdu ve'ein amida ela shtika. The Gemara says that you can't talk during Kriyas HaTorah. Now you're going to say it relates to Mayim at Har Sinai.
No, yeah,
it
relates to the Gemara in Megillah Chaf Aleph, right? Where
that they used to learn Torah standing up, but then it's Yard HaChol Shala Olam, so they started sitting down. That's true, but you would get an impression from that Gemara that today, once the world is weaker, that we could sit.
No, but isn't the field there that that's Nimud HaTorah, and Kriyas HaTorah is not Nimud? So Kriyas HaTorah is not Nimud. No, it's also not as much as
I don't know.
That's how,
I'm not sure. And that the Gra says that this is the source for standing up at Kriyas HaTorah, this pasuk, which sounds like it's being mekayim pshuto shel mikra. Shani, you had a comment?
No, I was going to say
something. From that Gemara Megillah, that they used to learn Torah standing. I thought that was about learning Torah. And when we do Kriyas HaTorah in Shul, I thought that's like a public example of Talmud Torah.
So that, the question.
The Mishnah Berurah is not so fond of that. He says,
but it also
so
needs to
be evidence.
Maybe. I mean, it could be. Again, these are just some suggestions of where we see, right, that even though the Gemara has drushos different than the meaning of all these things, but we try to be mekayim pshuto shel mikra. Any of you went to Mechlala? No. Okay. Why am I like not so surprised? But Rabbi Cooperman, the Mechlala, has a whole book about Pshuto Shel Mikra. He just passed away. So this is one of the chapters that he has. I think I have a few examples that he doesn't have in that chapter. I forgot already. I haven't read it in a while. But that's the idea. Okay. So basically, the non-Jews go, and they become Gerim Gerurim, which we'll discuss, and they put on the tefillin, and the tzitzis, and the mezuzah. Kevon shero en mochemes gogu magog, omer lahen al ma basem, omrim lo al Hashem ve'al Mashicho. Right? They see mochemes gogu magog. So God says to them, why you're coming. So he said, oh, we're coming, Hashem HaMashiach. Hoshenem Lamar, Chugoyim Ul Umin Yagut Rik, V'cho Echad, Minatik Mitzvaso, V'Holeich, Shenem and Natkaras Mosro Seimo. Basically what happens is, they see the war of Gog and Magog, and they rip off their mitzvos, and they run away, etc., and God laughs. Yoshe Bashamayim Yischak. So according to version 2 of the Gemara, the time that Hashem laughed was when the non-Jews were trying to convert, but they see the war of Gog and Magog and they stop. What I see from this Gemara is, when is the war of Gog and Magog? Is the war of Gog and Magog before Mashiach or after Mashiach? What does this Gemara sound like? After, right. Because this Gemara is about La'asad Lovel, the end of days, right? In Messianic times, right? That's what the Gemara on Amar Aleph discussed, Hayom la'asosam, v'lo la'machar la'asosam, etc., that you don't gain anything. So you see from this Gemara that Gog and Magog is after Mashiach. The Rambam, in chapter 12 of Hilchos Melachim does not mean the laws of angels, it means the laws of kings, right? You have to know how to spell it. So in Hilchos Melachim, in Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Beis, the Rambam right, that the Pshuto Shel Hapsukim is that Gog and Magog is going to be after Mashiach. Again, we haven't experienced it yet. I don't know, but this Gemara sounds that way also. So far, so good?
But there's two.
Huh?
Like, one's going to bring Mashiach and one's going to fight the war.
Two Mashiachs.
Yes.
So, what's interesting to note is that if you go through the Rambam in his Halachos of Mashiach, which is chapter 11 and 12 of Hilchos Melachim, nowhere does the Rambam mention Mashiach ben Yosef. Mashiach ben Yosef is mentioned in the Gemara. It's not mentioned in the Rambam. If you want sources about this, look in Rav Mendel Kasher's Sefer HaTekufa HaGedolah, which is his Sefer about Zionism. In the back, he has a running commentary on the Halachos of Mashiach, right? Hilchos Mashiach was not invented by Lubavitchers. It's a genuine part of Torah. Okay, Tehillah, right? It's a genuine part of Torah. You're allowed to learn the Halachos of Mashiach. Now, the fact is that the Rambam never mentions Mashiach ben Yosef, even though the Gemara at the end of Sukkah does mention Mashiach ben Yosef, right? So, it's part of Judaism, but somehow the Rambam leaves it out. Obviously, the Rambam felt that it's like a machlokas hasugyas, and there are other sugyas that disagree. That's probably the pshat in the Rambam, but not so easy. Oh, so the Gemara says, "Amrib Yitzchak Ein Lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu Schok Ela Oso Hayom Bilvad." God only laughs that day. Now, Eini, the Gemara asks, but didn't Rabbi Yehuda say in the name of Rav that there are 12 hours in the day? For the first 3 hours, Hashem learns Torah. The second 3 hours, Hashem judges the world. When Hashem sees that the world should be destroyed, so he leaves the Kisei Hadin and he sits on the Kisei Rachamim. Right? I mentioned this like a Rosh Hashanah type of theme, no? We say on Rosh Hashanah, Ola Elokim Bikshrua Hashem B'kol Shofar, that the idea of Tekiya Shofar is to move the Ribono Shel Olam from the Kisei Hadin to the Kisei Rachamim. The Gemara says on every day Hashem judges the world, and Hashem moves from the Kisei Din to Kisei Rachamim. The third group of 3 hours, Hashem feeds the entire world. Mikarnei re'emim ad beitzei kinim. What are karnei re'emim and what are beitzei kinim? Talia?
I think Rashi said the animals are like
what does Rashi say?
Beitzei kinim, big animals are like little lice.
So, from little lice to big animals, right? Now, what's interesting about Rashi, I'm not sure if I'm right about this point, is there is, right, this week's parashas, Vizil Sabrecha, kind of, sort of, a little bit. V'karnei re'im karnov, bohem yinagach amim afse oretz, v'him rivivos Ephraim, v'him alfei Menashe. So what does karnei re'im karnov mean? It means that Yosef has very strong horns, no? Like the horns of a re'im. The Pashto says that a re'im is a very large animal that had gigantic horns. I believe Natan Slifkin assumes that a re'im is an aurochs, which was an extinct type of very large type of cattle, like that became extinct. We know what year it became extinct. The last one died, and they had huge horns. And the horns of a Re'eim was interesting because most horns of animals serve one or two purposes. Either they're ornamental or they're used for goring, no? Like a shofar in Rosh Hashanah is supposed to be bent, kafuf, no? A shofar kafuf is used by animals as an ornament. An animal looks pretty when it has big horns. Not that I'm an animal, not that, but animals, apparently, it adds a degree of beauty when they have the...
But they use
those
also for...
What?
They also use the best.
So, usually, the animals that are more into goring, are more into fighting, have straighter horns. When the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us that the shofar of Rosh Hashanah, the more bent it is, the better that it is, one can make a drasha, if one would be a pulpit rabbi, right? And the drasha would go something to the effect of that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking of us is not to use brute force. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, don't use the keren. Use a shofar. Because a keren is used by an animal to gore, to shteis, right? That's another Yiddish word, to shteis. But a shofar, because it's curved, so now karenei re'im karenov, the Re'eim had beautiful, very large horns that could be used for either. It was both ornamental and it was also used for goring, apparently. What's interesting to note, I think, if I read this Rashi carefully, is that Rashi is saying Karnei Re'eim is the name of the Chaya Gadola. I'm not sure if Rashi is saying that the Re'eim is a Chaya Gadola, and if that's the case, why is the Gemara mentioning anything about the Keren? What does the article say?
Gives the animal name.
Yeah, I'm curious. What does Rabbi Scroll say? Art.
It
okay.
See Rashi to Deuteronomy 33:17.
Right, that's Parshas Mizos HaBrecha. Again, it's hard to know exactly what a Re'eim was. But the impression you get from this Gemara might be that there's an animal called Karnei Re'eim and there's an animal called Beitzei Kinim. Which, right, usually I think that the animal's the Kinim, not the Beitzei Kinim. Again, it's interesting. So we have so far 9 hours of the day. The first three, God learns Torah. Then after God learns Torah, God engages in din. After God engages in din, God goes and gives parnasa. After God goes and gives parnasa, so then God plays with the Leviathan. No? God plays with this super gigantic fish, etc., that Leviathan say yotzar to lesachik bo. So Gemara has a question. Why do you tell me the only time Hashem laughs is when the goyim rip off their tefillin and their tzitzis and their mezuzahs and they say they don't want to keep the mitzvahs anymore? Every day God laughs. So the Gemara answers: there's a difference as you learned when you were in second grade between laughing with you and laughing at you. No, is that what the Gemara says?
Yeah.
Right? Imbri Yosef misachik al bri Yosef eino misachik osiyom bavad. Okay. What exactly is the point of this Gemara? I think one of you asked during like the Seder time that, maybe it's Liat, she said something to the effect of, I have no idea why the Gemara is telling us this stuff. Is that a fair assessment of what you said?
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
Wasn't it to prove that God laughs?
So the Gemara in context is to prove that God laughs. Gemara has a question, Gemara answers, well, there's two different types of laughter. There's playful, right? God plays with his creatures, and then there's making fun of his creatures, which is a very rare occurrence. Like, laughing at you is rare, laughing with you happens every day. That's what the Gemara says. But why do I need to know this Gemara? So Rav Soloveitchik said the following idea. This is found in the book Nefesh Herb, or Nefesh Harav, page 69. One of the basic themes of the Rav's Hashgacha was the Halachta B'drachov. The Halachta B'drachov in Latin is imitatio Dei, which means that we have an obligation to imitate God. Sota daf yudalet, right? That God, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu buried Moshe Rabbeinu, we have an obligation to bury dead people. Mahu rachum afata heye rachum. Mahu chanun afata chanun, etc. Right? We have an obligation to imitate God. What this Gemara is telling us, interestingly, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu learns Torah. Now, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu learns Torah, I learn Torah because if I don't learn, I'll forget. God will never forget. Why is God learning? The answer is that God is learning to show me that when I study Torah, it's also a kiyum of the halachta b'drachot. I'm studying Torah because Hashem also learns Torah. And you also get the impression from this Gemara that there's a Seder Hayom that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, which is that your day is supposed to begin with Limud HaTorah. On a certain level, it sets a priority if you begin the day with Limud HaTorah, because then that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. He begins the day learning Torah, no? Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is done the entire world. We'll talk about that in a minute. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu does what we would call parnasa, right? Then, afterwards, HaKadosh Baruch Hu plays. Rav Soloveitchik on page 69 here of Nefesh HaRav said that in the hesped that the Rav gave for Moshe Shatzkis, for Moshe Shatzkis was the Lomzer Rav, he was one of the Rosh Yeshiva by us in Yeshiva, and when Moshe Shatzkis actually was the Bochein for Smicha. When guys used to come to get Smicha, it was like the scariest process ever. My father-in-law told me it was like guys would panic because they'd sit there with Dr. Belkin and the Rav and Rav Moshe Shatzkis. And basically, the guys all knew that the best way to get Smicha is by saying you don't know or by giving some answer that was like possible. So then the Rebbeim would like fight among themselves whether it was possible, and then your time would be up and they'd give you your Smicha because the Rebbeim just got involved in fighting among themselves. That you have to be a bit of a pikeach. These are some of the good old tricks. But in the hesped that the Rav gave for Moshe Shatzkis, he said that many times things bother him. Like there's some issue in politics that was really troubling to the Rav, or someone insulted the Rav, or something happened that it really bothered him. And every time the Rav would go and he'd speak to Rav Moshe Shatzkis, and Moshe Shatzkis would say something like, what difference does it make? And he'd like always smile and like have a good time. And then Rav Moshe Shatzkis apparently commented to the Rav that the Gemara over here is saying that God plays with the Levyasin to teach us that we're not supposed to be so serious. Don't take everything so seriously. Have a good time in life. And this is not the type of Musar we usually get, but it's very important. Have fun. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has fun. God plays with the Levyasin every day. I have no idea what this game is, but God, right? But God is doing it. That's important. Don't be so serious. Rav Schechter always says, or the next Jews are just too serious. Yeah, and why not have a good time? Sometimes, you ever see a person like davening Shemona Esrei, and it looks like the person, the face becomes like a prune, and they're like all red. Like, don't be so serious. Have a good time. You're speaking to Hashem. It's an opportunity to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Have a good time. Realize what you're doing. Of course, you're asking for important things. I'm not saying to, like, only have fun and never... But one part of your day has to be to have fun. And the impression I get from this Gemara, if I'm reading the Gemara as a logical progression, is that the fun that you should have is supposed to be at the end of the day. The day begins with Torah. But the day ends with relaxation and sitting around in the dorm and schmoozing. I don't know if any of you schmooze. It's important.
Yeah, but then the Gemara says that you're supposed to learn at night and not talk at night.
Of course. But one thing I see is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spends some of his day playing. That means that playing is not a waste of time. That's what I see from this Gemara. By the way, the Rav understood now, all of Parshas Bereishis is here to teach us a lesson in V'halachta B'drachov. The lesson is that we're supposed to be creative. The Adam 1 type of idea. I mean, I don't know if this is true on this campus as much as it's true uptown. A lot of the guys feel that they're wasting time if they go for professions. And guys feel that maybe I have to, it's like b'dieved, and like I should really be like steiging all day. You know, going for a profession is doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to all be very creative. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to improve this planet. The Midrashim speak about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created different worlds and then destroyed them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have figured out a way. Did you say this?
She did.
Yeah, you thought of this whole shot?
No, the entire thing.
That's very impressive. Excellent. Wow.
Maybe you told it to me.
Unlikely. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have gotten it right the first time. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to create all these worlds and then destroy them? The answer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to show us, listen, Chevra, you're supposed to be creative, and don't think that all those rough drafts are a waste of time. Don't think that all the times that you tried to do something and it didn't work, don't think that you're a failure because of it. That's an important stage in growth. Now, the Gemara also says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu learns Torah. The Gemara in Bracha says HaKadosh Baruch Hu davens. The lesson over here is that when we do these activities, we are imitating the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now, I'm not sure what this means in my entire Hashkafas Olam, but I think the idea is very true. Read it. It's in Nefesh HaRav, page 68, 69, 70. I think it's a beautiful piece of Torah. So far, so good? Let's go on. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges people every day. Of the 12 hours a day, God judges. What does that mean, that God judges us every day? Didn't we just have Rosh Hashanah? Isn't Rosh Hashanah when God judges? What does it mean that God judges us every day? So Rashi is sensitive to this problem, no? What does Rashi say? Rashi says that we're going like Rabbi Yossi, no? The real Gemara that you have to know about Rosh Hashanah is Daf Tazayin and Yud Zayin. Daf Tazayin and Rosh Hashanah is Ba'aba Prakim Ha'olam Nidon. Four times a year, the world is judged. Frek the Gemara, like, where does Rosh Hashanah come in? Right, we assume that Rosh Hashanah were judged. Right, this is sort of what we're doing this way. Right, Rosh Hashanah Yikasevon. Right, we're going between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So the Gemara over there tells us that Rabbi Yossi's Shita is that we're judged every single day. And Zakt Rashi, our Gemara, is going Aliba de Rabbi Yossi. That's why Rashi is learning this Gemara, no? This is against the way the Mekubalim learn. The Mekubalim assume, based on this Gemara and elsewhere, that we pask in both that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us in Rosh Hashanah, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us every day. And the Mekubalim say that what this means is that on Rosh Hashanah, the judgment is V'yahal HaMedinos Bo Yeyomer. There's like a judgment B'chlolos, in terms of how much money will there be in the world? How much food will there be? Which country will have a lot? Which country will have a little? But the allocation of that to individuals, that's on a daily basis. Right? The Gemara, the Mekubalim are assuming against this Rashi, it seems, because what Rashi is saying is that that our Gemara is going like that rejected Shita that we're judged every day. Hey, is this a correct read of Rashi? Should we go weiter? Okay. So then the Gemara tells us that Rav Acha tells Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak that after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no longer happy. And the Gemara has quit, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never doesn't joke around anymore. By the way, what this means is the idea of Ima Anochi Betzara. You know, we paskin that after Chorban Beis HaMikdash, it's Arva Kol Simcha. And the amount of joy that should be in the world has really declined. And after Korban Beis HaMikdash, we no longer, for example, have, you know, by Avelos, there's the Yom HaMisa, which is Avelos Doraisa, according to half of the Rishonim, and it's the Shiva and the Shloshim. We don't have a Simcha of Shloshim anymore by the Simcha half. Right, you get married, then you have Shiva Simei HaMishter, which is the parallel to Shiva in Avelos. We don't really have Shloshim anymore by weddings. When I got married, so my wife went to Case... My wife did not go to Stern. She went to Case Western in Cleveland. So we went out to Cleveland for a post-wedding party with like all of her professors and stuff. And I said that, you know, Me'ikar Hadin, we're allowed to say Shah Simcha B'ma'ono at this party because a party thrown in our honor during Shloshim after the wedding. And my father was like, no one has done this in like hundreds of years. Who are you? Why did my daughter marry you? Something like that. Okay, these things happen. But I also wanted to marry my wife Ayudei Shaliach just to show people that's how it could be done, and I thought that way I could get like additional kibbudim at the wedding also, because you know you have a lot of rabbis at a wedding. But I don't know. Like, everyone thought this was a really bad idea. I thought this was a great idea.
Did you do it or not?
No. I'm crazy, but I'm not a lunatic. Could have been fun, right? So the Gemara says that after Chorban Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu no longer has schok. Chorban Beis HaMikdash destroyed our schok, but Imo Anochi B'tzara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also no longer happy after Chorban Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara has a question. How do you know that? If it's from this pasuk in Yeshaya, maybe that just means that the day of the Chorban HaKadosh Baruch Hu was happy. Ela d'chsev im eshkachech Yerushalayim tishkach yemini tidbak l'shoni l'chikei im lo ezkerechi. That pasuk is the only pasuk in the entire mizmah of Al Naharos Bavel that's written in the first person. All the other psukim in Al Naharos Bavel are written in the third person. No, it's like davening to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Zachar Hashem of Nei Edom. No, but this pasuk is in the first person. So the Gemara over here is darshining that Hakadosh Baruch Hu is saying, "I am not happy," right? It's a different read on Imesh Gachech Yerushalayim. Avodah Zarah Gimel Amud Beis is telling us that the Ribono Shel Olam is saying, I'm not happy. You picked up on that? Right? That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, no! Dilma Shechu Hu Delekah V'Shoi K'miya Ikka. Maybe God doesn't forget it, but he could still laugh. Ela Meha Hecheshesi Me'olam Acharish Esapak. That God is saying that I'm longing, I'm staying still, I'm going to be silent. Apparently that means God won't laugh. So the Gemara asks, well, one second, if God doesn't laugh, so now we have 3 hours to use up. So what do we do with those 3 hours? God doesn't play with the Levyosin anymore. What do we do? So maybe you're going to tell me that after Korban HaBayis, we shouldn't joke around and we shouldn't laugh. Because, right, if we're, I don't know, we have to think that through. But the Gemara asks, Bervios, my Ovid. So Yoshev Umelamed Tinokas Shobes Rabban Torah. God teaches little kids. Shenemas mi yoredeyas mi yoven shmua gemulei mecholav atike mishadayim. Zokt Rashi, a beautiful Rashi, gemulei mecholav, shemesu kishen katanim, no? My friend Shai Schechter told, Shai Schechter, Rav Schechter's son, was my chavrusa for a few years, and when we learned Avodah Zarah together, he told me that he was once with Reb Usher Weiss, and Reb Usher went to be Menachem Avad, a family who tragically lost a little baby. And Reb Usher said to the family that, you know, I can't comfort you. By the way, the loss of a baby is like one of the most painful things in the world. Darko Sha'olam is that we lose our parents. It's not Darko Sha'olam to lose your children. It's not normal. And parents who lost children, I have a cousin who is my age who is nifter. His parents have never recovered. His parents are still, they're like, it's a bracha to mention. They're like broken people on a certain level. It's one of the most painful things. So Reb Usher commented to the family, said, the only way I can be menachem you is Rashi and Avodah Zarah Daf Gimel Amud Beis writes that the Rebbe of these little babies who die young is the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. Isn't that what Rashi is saying? Gemulei mechalav, zokt Rashi, shemesu kishehin katanim. The Ribbono Shel Olam himself teaches these little babies, the babies who died. They have the best Rebbe ever. And that might be the only nechama, Reb Asher said. I thought it was a very powerful idea. Rav Salvechik commented in that same piece in Nefesh HaRav that the Rav didn't like being called HaRav HaGoyin. He didn't like these titles. So one title he liked being called is a Malamed, a teacher. He said because the Ribbono Shel Olam is also called a teacher. Now, Malamed is usually a term that's used for a teacher of little kids, no? Gil HaRach, or whatever it is. Many people view it as like an insult. Like, I'm going to teach, first graders? I'm going to teach little kids? Like, you know, my son's in first grade. He doesn't know which way to put his pants on in the morning. He gets it wrong every day. It's unbelievable. Right? At some point, you'd think like you have to get it right. Every day, you'll see Dov gets it wrong. Okay, that's his talent. Huh? Yeah, my son's named after the Rav. But the Gemara is saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls himself a Malamed. And the Rav felt that the Rav didn't want titles. The one title that he would allow himself to be called is a Malamed. He said, because the Ribbono Shel Olam is a Malamed, and we say that in Birchas HaTorah every day, HaMalamed Torah La'amo Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches. It's not a Prisas HaKovet. Look who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Apparently, everyone else, when they go up to Gan Eden, has Rebbeim, like, maybe you could be Moshe Rabbeinu's shir. Maybe you could be Miriam Hanavi's shir. I don't know whose shir you're going to be in Olam HaEmes. But the people who get into the Ribbono Shel Olam shir are these little babies who died young. They get into the Ribbono Shel Olam shir in the Olam HaEmes. It's a very powerful Gemara. So the Gemara says that now, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, that he has this extra time. He spends 3 hours a day teaching these little kids. Frekli Gemara, Mi'ikara Man Hava Migmar Lahu, before Churban HaBayis who taught these kids. So Gemara says, version one is Metatron. I am too young to understand what Metatron is. Metatron is the name, I think the Bali HaTaisis in Parshas Lech Lecha tells that Metatron, you know there's like Taisis on Chumash? So the Baal Taisis and Parshas Lech Lecha tell us that Metatron is like the Memuna on all of the Malachim or something. He's like the super duper Malach. So Metatron taught them. Version 2 is that the Ribbono Shel Olam did two things. He was playing with the Levyasin and he was also teaching the kids. By the way, you see from that version of the Gemara that multitasking is okay. You can use a fidget spinner when you are teaching. Or what?
Or that a way to teach kids is through play.
Oh, you're saying he taught the kids to play?
Through play.
That's interesting. I don't know. It's possible. That's only a possible read of the Gemara. That like a teacher for Gil Harach has to teach the kid. Play is like, that's what they do all day. My son in first grade, my guess is he learns for like half an hour a day maximum.
According to this, the proper seder time is 3 hours.
3 out of 12, or a quarter of the time that you're there. Right. That's correct. The Gemara then asks, what does God do at night? So, version one is God does at night the same thing that God does during the day. That version means that God is always productive, no? Night is not a time off at all for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And apparently that would be some sort of ideal for us if we are taking this Gemara to mean V'halachta B'drachav. Version 2 of the Gemara is that God rides on this light kruv and he goes flying through 18,000 worlds. Shenemar, Rochav Elokim Ribosayim, Alfei Shen'an, El Tikvei Shen'an, El She'enan. Or God listens to Shira Mipi Hachayo, Shanama Yoman Yitzav Hashem Chasto, Belaila Shiro Imi. Version 2 of the Gemara, I think, is saying that nighttime is a time to be osek in Shiros Hashpachos. Right? In other words, during the day, you do the heavy lifting, the serious Torah. Night, you learn Tehillim. Right? Or lighter stuff, stuff that's more poetic in nature, that's what comes out at night. Okay, that is what this Gemara says. Tosis over here speaks about one, the Tosis Dira Maskel Shnios, that one version is that we say Mimkoma Hu Yifen Beracham and by Musaf, because we're saying that Kadosh Baruch Hu now at the time of Musaf, it's the second 3 hours of the day. So Kadosh Baruch Hu leave the Kisei Hadin and go on to the Kisei Rachamim. So Tosfos says that's not correct, because the Gemara will tell us later on that really the first 3 hours is the time of Din, not the second 3 hours. And usually people don't daven Musaf before Zman Kriya Shema unless you go to one of these ungodly Hashkoma minions or something. And apparently, you see from this Gemara that you're not supposed to go to Hashkama Minyanim, right? Or you see from the Taisis, because you're supposed to daven Musaf after Zman Kriya Shema, after 3 hours of the day has passed. So then Tosis concludes that Mimkoma Hu Yifen Beracham is just Matbeya Shel Tefila Kachu, and Tosis doesn't explain what that means. Did anyone see the Tosis Rabbeinu Elchanan? Huh? So how does Tosis Rabbeinu Elchanan say it? It's on page 4. Again?
He says it's the same thing.
Matbeya shel tefila kachi, v'hachi perusho. That's the key point in the Tosfos Rabbeinu Elchanan. And this is the pshat in the matbeya shel tefila. Min ha-makom asher hu shochin sham, yifne aleinu lachus l'rachem aleinu. Wherever God is. In other words, we're not saying that God is now on the Kisei Din, and we want to move God to the Kisei Rachamim, but wherever the Ribbono Shel Olam might be, Mimkoma Hu Yifen Berachamim. Wherever the Ribbono Shel Olam might be. Right? That's what the Tosfos Rabbeinu Elchanan is adding as the Matbeya Shel Tefila. It depends how you translate that line in Kedusha. No? It doesn't mean that God was on the Kisei Hadin or not. Good. Can you speak louder?
Yeah, and folks are a little confused. Tosfos was assuming that when the Gemara says that like Hashem switched from Kisei Din to Kisei Rachamim, that it was like an everyday occurrence as opposed to like one time.
It sounds like it's every day. Like just like every day God is judging at the beginning, and then he moves to Kisei Rachamim because the world can't function, and we're going Zuckdrashi like that opinion that we're judged every day. Yeah, so every single day. Now, how come we don't say Mimkomo on Shabbos? How come we only say it on Shabbos? How come we don't say it during the week? If God is judging us every day, so I think the answer probably is that the Misakne HaTfila didn't want to be Matriachas with like a long Kiddush every day. That idea is correct every single day.
Why would we do that?
Because it's too long. They don't want us to have to spend that long in Shul. I think that's probably the pshat. I don't know. According to this, every single day, God leaves Kisei Din and goes to Kisei Rachamim. Amar Reb Levi. Ready? Kol ha-posek mi-divrei Torah va-osek b'divrei sicha ma'achilin lo gachalei risamim. When I was in yeshiva in Israel, so like some really frum guys walked around giving us these cards to keep in our wallet that had this Gemara on it, that if you stop learning and you start schmoozing, so they give you hot coals to eat, which is probably not the thing that you want to eat so often. It probably hurts. And we quote this from a pasuk, "Hakotvim miluach alei siach." Rashi has two explanations of what miluach means. No, what are the two explanations of Rashi? "Hakotvim miluach alei siach." So it's like six lines at the bottom in Rashi. Miluach. Explanation one of Rashi is "Divarim lach luchim v'ikar." Right? What's "Divarim lach luchim" mean? Good moist stuff. You're going away from Geshmaka Torah. And what are you involved in? Just schmoozing, just chatting, just shooting the breeze? You're giving up the good stuff for nothing. Version 2 of Rashi is that where miluach means from the thing that's written on the luchos. Right? But Tosfos feels that the word miluach really means like grasses. Like salty foods, etc. Okay. But basically, people leave good Torah for just chatting. That's not proper. Kotve miluach ale siach. V'shoresh resamim lachmam, and their bread will be like these boiling coals. Now, is this a halacha? Are you not allowed to stop learning to shmooze? How do you figure out if it's a halacha or not?
There's no Ein
Mishpat. Look in Ein Mishpat. Is this in the Ein Mishpat? It doesn't make it, no? It doesn't make it to the Ein Mishpat. The Mishnah Brura was very frum. The Chafetz Chaim... but by the way, if you read, what's his name? You know, Benny Brown. You know Benny Brown, who wrote the biography of the Chazon Ish? Like the 2,000-page biography of the Chazon Ish that YU published like 5 years ago? So Benny Brown also has a series of articles about the way the Mishnah Brura learned. I gave a series of shiurim once about the Chazon Ish and the Mishnah Brura and the Derech HaLimud. I based a lot of it on Benny Brown's articles. Benny Brown argues that one of the frumkeit of the Mishnah Brura is that all of these gemaras that don't make it to halacha, he paskins la halacha. So if you look in the Mishnah Brura, in the Shar HaTzion, in the Simen Resh Pei Hei Os Yud Aleph, it says in Shulchan Aruch that a Yarei Shamayim is not mafsik when you are going through Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum. Did you ever, like, go up to someone who's more Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum, they, like, push you away, like, right? They, like, push you away? Because a Yarei Shamayim is not mafsik during Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum. The impression that you get from Shulchan Aruch is that this is frumkeit. A Yarei Shamayim doesn't do it. However, the Mishnah Brura, right, says no. It means that Yerush Shemayim is not mafsik in Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum even at the end of an aliyah, even at the end of a section. But it's usur me'ikar hadin to be mafsik in Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum in middle of a section. And he writes, ayin avodah zarah gemum beis. Right? That means that the Mishnah Brura la halacha is paskining like this Gemara. The Mishnah Brura.
He's modified notes on himself.
Again, the mission, what the Mishnah Brura decided to include in the Mishnah Brura, what he decided to include in the Shar HaTzion, is an interesting thing for the scholars to figure out. And who gave him the idea to write a book that has both a text, a commentary, and a super commentary under the commentary? It's a very unusual way of writing a book. It happens to be a great method of organizing, but I don't know what the Mishnah Brura based his idea of writing the Sefer that way. That structure of Sfarim has been copied many times, but I don't know where he got that idea from. Hi, Shani.
Is it okay if I go this year? I just don't want to walk in.
Yeah, please. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be finishing in like 1 minute. You won't miss much, and I'll put it online also. So, okay. But the point is that the Mishnah Brura is paskening lahalacha that it's usher to stop in middle of learning. Right? It's usher to interrupt the middle of learning based on this Gemara. Okay, Zakti Gemara Vayter. Reish Lakish says, if a person is Osek B'Torah B'Layla, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Cholav, Chutcho Chesed B'Yom. You learn Torah at night, God gives you a Chutcho Chesed. Rashi writes, this means that people will like you. The Maharsha understands Rashi as follows. Usually, if a person stays up learning very late at night, that person's going to be really groggy. And groggy people tend to be very grumpy, and they tend to not be the most pleasant people to be around. So no one would want to be friends with the groggy person, right? So the big masmi, the masmida, who's learning late at night, most often would not have friends. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does you a favor. If you learn Torah late at night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Moshe Cholav Chutcho Chesed B'Yom. Right? That's the way the Maharsha learns. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does you a favor that people will like you. The reason why you have chesed is because you learn Torah at night. Well, turn in a flame, like you said, if you want to turn in Olam Hazeh, you get chesed in Olam Haba, etc. We'll break here. Okay, so, I think there is a lot more to say on these Gemaras. And Yitz Hashem, next time, I want to talk about Geiros. Try for next time to get through till the Gemara, the bottom of Dar Amraf, and to do this bottom Tosa, Shahaya B'Yadam Limchos. Look at the Rashba in Beitza, Daf Lamed Amid Aleph, and he quotes the Baal HaItur. And look in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos, Yom HaKippurim and Simin Tafrei Shches, in the Ramah, when he quotes the Din of Mutav Shiu Shogigin. And if you're interested, I have an article that I wrote about when an Eira falls down on Shabbos, where I discuss the question of Mutav Shiu Shogigin in detail, which is all based on this Tosis.
Can you send out that list of Makoros for
us? I should send it out, yeah.
Yeah.
I could do that.